Morning, everyone. I just got a testimony about three things. One is about this church. One is about God and about healing. I know I've stood up here before a few times, but for a few years, I went through a stage where I wasn't going to church. You guys were filled up at the Lavender Blue, and I came and visited once or twice, and that was me. I was like a lone ranger. I decided I'm going to kind of have a relationship with God, with me and God, and that's it. I don't need church. Eventually, I managed to get here. And started getting involved with the church. And one of the things that drew me to the shofar was the relational part of it, the people. The other part was about the worship. It was just like genuine worship and the message as well. You know, it was just like God speaking in this place. So God brought me here, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just be a pew warmer. I'll sit at the back, and just nothing wrong with the back, but I was going to sit in the back and just blend in with the crowd. Some people are saying the seats in the front are good. They're much better. You get the message first, you know. Anyway, but I thought, now I'll just blend in the crowd, but that didn't work. God started with me straight away. He said, no, you're not going to sit there and just blend in. He wants to deal with me. And immediately God started restoring me. I had a hardened heart for many different reasons, and I had some pain and sorrow. And God took me straight away. I think there was a SOS at the time at the church, and He said, okay, you need to go there, and started speaking to me directly, people talking into my life. And it was just amazing that God just took me and restored me, my relationship to Him, from the first sort of sessions in church. God restored my relationship with Him, and then He also started healing me. He took away certain emotional hurts. He took away pain and sorrow. So He's healed me as well. There's still some more healing to come, I believe, but because I believe He's still going to heal my eye as well sometime soon, so we trust Him for that. We had a whole lot of people praying, and it's going to happen sometime, so when it happens, I'll stand up here again. So just having the church being part of your life makes a huge difference. There's a verse in the Bible, Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, which says, "Do not forsake the gathering," and it talks about encouraging one another. And that's what it's about, you know, staying away from certain parts of church. You know, it's not only coming on a Sunday, it's also being part of a small group, it's being part of a ministry, you know, going to these seminars and it all just grows you. And if you don't do any of that, you miss out so much of God. I didn't go to church for about 2-3 years, and I'm actually very regretful, because I missed out on so much of God. You know, being part of what God has for you is just like so awesome. And when you don't do that, you just miss out. So yeah, I just want to encourage you to just commit to sort of being more involved in what God has for your life. Thanks.
Just so you know, I'm really nervous. I might start crying. I have so many testimonies, but unfortunately, I think I'll only get to squeeze in two. The first one is about church. I also didn't go to church for a long time. I was very rebellious at varsity, and the one church I told myself I'll never go to was shofar. It's such a bad experience in Stellenbosch with shofar. I said, I will never go to shofar, and I will never be friends with anybody who goes to shofar. And then God sent Gerard along, my husband, and we started dating, and he said, you know, he thinks we should join a church. And I said, okay, no, it's fine, anything except shofar. And he said, okay. And, you know, I don't know, you guys who know Gerard, he's really like a little lamb. He just said, okay. And I think he was praying in secret. And so we were church hopping, and eventually he said, okay, but there's these foundation courses. Can we just please go to the one? I said, yeah, which church? He said, shofar. And I said, okay, I'll go to the foundation course, but I'm not joining the church. And then eventually I went to foundation one and foundation two, and God just turned my heart. And I've been in shofar for 4 years. So that was a huge testimony for me. And the second one, which is a little bit more emotional, I can't believe I'm standing here going to tell it. It's not so much my testimony, but rather my dad's. I've really always, my whole life, had a really bad relationship with my dad. Lots of, especially verbal abuse and emotional abuse. And when Gerard and I got married, we decided this is not going to affect our marriage. first time any verbal abuse comes, we're going to cut him off. He's not going to do this in our marriage. And so, let me just give a little bit before that. In matric, my parents got divorced. Everything just started going really bad for my dad. My mom left him. He lost his job. He got retrenched. He lost everything. He had lots of debt, got blacklisted. So they basically came to his house, took his car. He had nothing. On top of that, he got really sick. He was hospitalized for about 9 months in public hospital. So it was really bad. And then everything started getting better again. And at that time, our relationship was really good because I was the only sibling visiting him every single day. And then everything started getting really bad again. And he for us, everything got better for him. He got better. He got a job again. Everything started getting great for him again. So he was, you know, back to where he was again. And everything, all the verbal abuse started again. And so Gerald and I got married. We decided not going to get into our life. And then in March, had a huge fight with my dad because I forgot my grandmother's birthday. And that, like, just flipped him. And he freaked out on all of us. My other siblings kind of just ignored him and said, yes, we're sorry, whatever. But I decided, no, this is not going to go on. I'm not going to let this get into our marriage. So for 4 months, I didn't speak to my dad. Crying every day, praying every day. And then one night, and I must just add, he's never ever said sorry about anything, ever. And then one night I got a long email, apologies about every single thing that he's ever done. And that was because God appeared to him in a dream. And he just turned his life around from a dream. And this is like the most stubborn man that I know. And God just changed him in a dream. And yeah, that's, well, my testimony as well, because it changed my life. I actually have such a healthy relationship with him now. It's just like he's a complete different person. So we're just keeping on praying for him. And yeah, yes, thanks.
Yeah, for people that know me, my name's Terence. I've got two testimonies. Also, I just want to share. One's about church and the other is finance. Going back about 3 years ago, I was just in a place, very depressed, very just lonely, not knowing what and how and all of that. And about 6 months prior to that, I went to the doctor to find out, like, you know what. And he put me on medication, depression medication. And I got to a place where I was full medication. I couldn't take anything more because I was on the maximum medication for depression. And so I thought, okay, well, that's life and just carry on. Stepped into shofar for the first time. And that was in February 14th, about 3 years ago. And since then, I haven't touched any depression medication, just like totally being healed. And that's just from the love and the support and the family of the church, and, you know, everybody that I see in front of me. The welcoming, it's amazing what love can do to one's soul, that it's actually healing, but also just, through God as well, awesomeness. And other was just from a financial point, I stood up in February and I shared how God's provision had come through by being obedient and tithing. And just to give people that don't know a bit of background, 2 years when the recession came, I got my own business, and it took quite a knock, ran up quite a bit of debt because I managed to pay guys and there wasn't as much work. So there was about 40,000 rand worth of debt on a credit card, which I've been trying to pay off for the last 2-3 years. And then God was just challenging me at the end of last year and beginning of this year just to start tithing again because he wants to do something. And at that stage, I had no money. I'm like, how am I meant to tithe with no money? So I gave what I could give. And by middle of February, where I thought I had no money for salaries and that, money came through, enough money that it paid off 10,000 rands worth of on the credit card, which I had in excess. So I just continued tithing from there. And today I just wanted to stand and just glorify God to say that my credit card is now in a positive balance, where I've been trying to pay it off over the last three years, and he's just totally come through just by me honoring him and just by tithing that he's come through for me. So people, anybody that's going through like a really financial time and difficulty, I challenge you just to start tithing and giving back to God because he's got so much he wants to give back to you. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Seeing we started about a school, I hope the cousins, the twins are here. I went to Dell College and I finished in 89. Yay! Just two quick things. I just want to first just testify about Shofar and what a privilege and honor it is to be in a church and each and every one of you that I love dearly. We were in Queenstown for about 12 years and involved a lot in church there. And when we moved here over December, it was one of those times that we were praying and saying, God, where am I going to join? Where am I going to go? And I'm going to miss the Queenstown church such a lot. And I've just been amazed how it's even been better. So thanks to each and every one of you. I've really enjoyed it. It's a beautiful church. And each and every one of you are special to me and help me grow in my life too. Also, just for anyone out there today, that isn't planted in the church, I encourage you to be planted. And then you will really flourish and grow. Secondly, just about business, I took over a business middle of last year, and I've shared a little bit before, but it was a business that was struggling and losing a lot of money, and how God's been good and gracious and shown us favor and blessed us beyond I could ever imagine or dream. So God is good. I'll just give him all the honor and glory and praise.
Amen. Rion's business won 5 national prizes for the most successful turned around, special, blessed, I don't know all the other things, but God has really done amazing things. So let's give the Lord a hand again. And while they are coming to share, if there are other people that want to share, please come and fill up the seats.
Right. Morning, everyone. My name is Daryl. My testimony goes sort of twofold. Firstly, as many of you know, 4 months ago, we were blessed with a beautiful baby girl. Now, as many of you know, with babies comes financial stress. And to give a bit of background to us, my wife and I are both physiotherapists. We both run our own private practice. And when I found out that my wife was pregnant, it sort of hit me, here comes a financial problem. Without my wife working, it meant that her salary was non-existent. Because with having your own private practice, the patient you see, that's the salary that goes into your bank account. So with her not seeing patients, meant that was gone. So it was all reliant on the money I would earn. I shared it with our small group. They prayed for it. I was given a Bible verse from Matthew that said, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will sort itself out. I held on to that, and I just said to God, what do I need to do from my side? And Sonic has shared a lot in church about the tithing principle. Never been a tither. Decided I would put this principle to practice and started doing it, relying on God to take care of it. And while the past 4 months has been some of the busiest months I've experienced in my life. I'm actually asking for a holiday now. My body is starting to take strain because of all this, all the patients. I just want to give all the glory and honor to God for that. He's truly blessed us. He's ensured that everything's covered. And I've even been able to pay my wife a salary to cover what she needs to cover. So all glory and honor to God for that. Amen. There you
are. Nice one. Hi, guys. excuse me. I'm the other brother, Daryl. This is Michaela, my wife. We met nearly 7 years ago. We've been dating, and we've been happily dating for that long. I've got a short testimony. It's really unprepared because I was going to say this about 2 months ago, and I asked the pastor, and he said to me, not now, it's a little bit hectic at the time, we'll do it sometime. And yeah, so I'm actually unprepared this morning. But it's God's got a funny sense of humor, you know. He puts you on the spot and he makes you speak because we promised him that we were going to do this. We'll go back 3 years. I was in a very unhappy place at work. I'm a carpenter by trade, so I'm involved in the building industry. And the company that I worked for was really treating us unfairly. And I was very unhappy. And as a young man, I've been dating this lovely lady for couple of years, and I had dreams and I had goals and I had visions that I wanted to marry her, and at the time it just seemed like it was never ever going to happen. And what actually happened was one day I stayed away from work. I know I shouldn't have done that, but I stayed away from work and I had a lot of time to think about things in my life. And I live in Ganubi, so I took a walk on the boardwalk, and I just sat there and I just asked God, seriously, what do you want me to do here? Like, this is not what I've got planned for my life. I'm unhappy every single day that I wake up. I'm not an unhappy person. I'm not ever depressed. I'm always happy-go-lucky, but for a few months now, I've been unhappy. Am I in the wrong place? And I went onto Facebook, and there was a message that was sent through from my aunt, and it was just like a message saying, God's telling me that you must go and follow your dream, and you will never walk alone. He'll always be there with you. And my dream was very big at the time because I was only getting a small salary and I had like a toolbox and a couple of tools and that. And no client base whatsoever. I started my own company. And she actually wanted to kill me because that money that we were getting was like a balance, you know. And I started my own business. Work was coming in and, you know, you'd get your ups and downs in business like every businessman will tell you. And the one evening from my previous church, I've always been a church follower in the past. I say that because I've always followed like my mom and dad to church, and I've never really had a church that I've chosen. And the one night, driving back from my previous church, God said to me, okay, now you need to marry this woman. You need to propose to her now, and you need to get married. And things weren't great, you know, like I was still just making it, and it was taking a bit of time. And I got home, I dropped her off at her place, and then I went home. I was still living with my folks, and I said to my mom and dad, listen, I need to speak to you guys. Just sit down in the lounge. And my dad's eyes went like this. He thought, yes, what's the soak done now? So I sat them down, and I said, listen, on the way back from church, God told me that I need to get married to Michaela. He's like, okay, so do you have money? So I said, no, I don't have money. That's the funny thing, you know. And then my mom looked at me and she said to me, well, you've got my blessing. And my dad said the same. And I said, okay, they asked me, when do you want to get married? So I said, well, as soon as possible. This was a year ago, September last year, and I spoke to Michaela, and we kind of hinted around the fact that we want to get married in April because the weather's nice and all of that, and there was a long weekend and all the rest of it. And he said, okay, well, so my dad's like, so what's your plan? So I said, I'm going to put my faith in God. He said to me that I'm going to get married. He's going to make it happen for me. And I started praying, and I left my previous church, And we found Shofar through a friend. And I tell you guys, the Spirit speaks to me in this place. So, and God guides me in this place. Like, the jobs that came along, I mean, it was something stupid. We did it around about September, and we got married in April. Okay, the wedding did happen, but I'm just speaking in between the time now. The jobs that came up at the time when I needed it the most, like the people that were put in my path, were all Christians. They were all Christians. They were all strong believers in God, and they all phoned me. And it was jobs that a company like mine shouldn't have really done, but I pulled it off, and the clients were always happy with me, and they call me back, and we've got a good relationship today, and I've told them my story, and it's just amazing the stuff that God can do for you and how He makes things happen. And He's done lots for me and Michaela over the years. We've been through a lot together with her mom. She'll tell you about that, but I just wanted to say, like, Shofar is a great church, and ever since we've come here, it's done the world of good for us. So you guys should bring your friends. Okay.
Hi, can you hear me? Okay. But also, with the wedding, for me, it was a lot about faith. If I didn't have, and faith has always been a big test for me, I haven't had a lot of it. So with the wedding, Daryl proposed in December, and then we had this April in mind, but it was also because my mom had to leave to go back to the UK for financial reasons. So we knew she had to leave, and I needed her here for the wedding. She had to be here. So I had a wedding planned. You know, I'd taken all the ideas from Pinterest, and I had planned my wedding, and this is what I wanted. But we had no money for the wedding. From January, had no idea what I was going to do. Kimane, the girl in Hong Kong, she was telling me, you've got to have faith, you'll do it. And I was like, listen, this isn't going to happen. Daryl had so much faith. I don't know if it was to keep me strong or he just had it and he was like, it's going to happen. A month and a half before the wedding, our invite still hadn't gone out because we still didn't know if we were having the wedding. We still didn't know if it was going to be a big, like a wedding, not huge, just 60, or if it was going to be like a tea, like just tea, that's it. So a month and a half before, Daryl got a job, a big job, a job that would enable us to have the wedding. So that was huge. That was God coming through for us. In a way, and that tested my faith, and that proved to me that God will come through for you. He wanted us to be married right from the get-go. We've overcome so much, and He enabled us to have the wedding we wanted. So that was that. And then with my mom, what I wanted to share was, and I did promise God I was going to give this testimony. I promised, I was on the boardwalk, and I said, listen, if He pulls this off, this wedding, I said, I will stand up and I will say something, and I hate speaking in front of people. So I did it. 5 months later, I did it. Okay. Then with my mom, she is British. She had a British passport, but my father took it. And anyway, she hadn't had one leading up for years, for like 15 years. And she also didn't have a South African ID, so she's kind of living in the country just being her. She got really sick. And then and my dad was helping us financially, although we hadn't seen him for like so many years. And then he stopped paying rent, also just before the wedding. So we knew eventually my mom would have to go back to the UK because I couldn't afford rent and everything else on my salary. So we knew we had to start the whole process of getting her passport and stuff like that. So the British passport's 2,000 rand. So we managed to get that money together, and we applied for her passport. But then the problem was they wanted a South African ID book. And we're like, well, she's British. Why does she need a South African ID book? And they said, no, she has been living in the country for so long, she has to have one. So we tried to apply for a South African ID, and they wouldn't give her one because she didn't have a British passport. So I'm trying to fight with the Department of Home Affairs, and then they're like, no, she needs a permit. So I had to get a permit. But the permit, then I'm phoning the lady who does the permits for you. I think Yvonne or something, and she does it for you. And then she said to me, and I was phoning her every week, how far is the permit, how far is the permit? And she said to me, my dear, she's like, can you please stop phoning me? So I was like, but it's an emergency, you know, the passport is have held the application, but they can't process it without the ID. And she said, it's going to take months. She said, it's going to take six months to a year for a permit. So I was just in tears. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do with my mom for 6 to 12 months while we wait for a permit? So then, I was in tears. So I phoned the passport lady back in Joburg, and I said, listen, this is the situation. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, I can't. I was just honest with her. I said, I can't afford to look after my mom. She needs to go back. She needs health care that, you know, we can't get here. And then she said, my dear, you know, I'm so sorry. She's like, try again that side. So I phoned the department or something or other. Try, and again, nothing. So eventually I got hold of, I phoned the lady at the passport place back, and I said, please, you've got to. So she said, let me do something. She said, I'm going to speak to my superior and see if there's anything we can do. She said, but the old records from my mom's old passport, the old school passport, the blue one, have all been destroyed. She said, but I'll see what we can do. And then she got hold of her superior, and she said, I'll phone you back tomorrow. She didn't phone me back, so I phoned her back, and I said, has anything happened? So she said, actually, I was just about to phone you. She said, he allowed me to go check the old records, which were destroyed. And she said, and we found your mom's old passport, all those details, and we're processing her a new passport. And she was given a passport, and then, so that was a miracle on its own. Then we had 6,500 rand to get a plane ticket, only. And my mother's terrified of flying. She doesn't think things should be in the air. So she needed a direct flight. There was no chance she could be stuck in Dubai or somewhere by herself. So we had that much money, and we're like, how are we going to get a direct flight for 6,500 rand? It doesn't happen. And I spoke to Dylan at Flight Center, and he said, wait, I'll see what I can find. And he found a flight for 6,495 rand direct, including Joburg to East London to Joburg, Joburg to Heathrow direct, on the last week. And she left last week, and she's there. So God has come through numerous times over and over again, and I've learned to have faith because he does it every time. If it's meant to be, it will be. So, yeah. Okay, I'm done.
Cool. Firstly, I just want to thank God for the band. I don't know who would agree, but this morning, like, the band, just, it was amazing, the worship that they had. So I just want to thank God for that. And then I actually want to ask a question. Who of you know the vision of Shofar? Shofar's vision. Shofar's got a vision. Church. Who knows that vision? To reach nations and generations through leadership development, discipleship, leadership development, and church planting. And that's just an amazing vision. And I just want to tell you that this shofar here in East London is not isolated in any way. We're part of almost a global shofar, because shofar's got churches in London, it's got churches in Namibia, it's got churches all over South Africa, and Andre and them are accountable to the head office in Stellenbosch and everything. So it's really a blessed church, just because they base the principles on accountability and everything. So that's just the first thanking God for shofar, the church shofar. And then I just want to give a testimony of getting up those stones. I decided to, at work, just put a big photo of one of our mission trips I was on at my desk. And like in the first half a day, three people came to ask me about it. And I was just able to just testify of what God did on the mission and just share a bit about that. And in the past week, I think about nine or ten people has already come to me and asked, like, what's this? Even yesterday, even Thursday and Friday, like, why do you have this photo here, and what's it all about and stuff? and just opens the door to speaking to people's lives. And actually, Wednesday morning, I came, as I got to work, the security lady there, she said, "Yo, I always speak a bit of Xhosa to her." And he can ngingi, Xhosa can ngingi. And so I just say molo, whatever, kunjane, pilile, that kind of stuff. And she said, no, she wasn't feeling very well. So I said, okay, great, this is an opportunity for me to pray for her. So I asked her if I could pray for her, and she said, yes, I can pray for her. Her throat was very bad, and she was quite ill. So I just prayed quickly for her, and then I said she must be blessed and everything. And the afternoon when I got there, she was gone. The next morning I saw her again. I asked, how is she doing? So she said, no, she's no more. She had a lot of pain in her throat, especially. She said, no more pain. She feels much better today. I asked her, but when did the pain go away? She said, no, just a little while after you prayed for me yesterday. And even the next day after that, I saw again and asked her, how is she doing? She said, no, she's 100% fine again. She's got energy again, and all the pain is gone. So I just want to praise God for truly still making healings, you know, in our midst. I just want to testify that.
Good morning. I'd like to ask a question. If I had to ask you, what is the most greatest thing to you each day when you wake up in the morning? Is it your job? Maybe that special car you're looking for, special wife. I've been a Christian for many years and been serving God. But I knew I had to learn to understand the Holy Spirit. And I was born again, and I knew there was salvation, but I wasn't too sure what a surety of salvation is. And when I was gymming in at Virgin Active, and whatever I do perfectly. So if I train, I train hard. So if I run, I run hard. So then one of the ladies who used to work at Virgin said, "Why don't you come and join Shofar?" And Christians today, everyone goes through trials, goes through issues, and we have all got issues. And God died on the cross for us, so His blood has washed us. But we as humans still, as Andre was saying this morning, that we moan, we grumble. So it's about an attitude you have in life. And if you say, "I'm blessed because I've got toothpaste to clean my teeth today," or "I've got the job," and that, you just change a whole perspective of the way you think. And I came to the first service here, yeah, and Sonika was preaching, and yeah, I've had issues in my life in relationships and that. 4 years ago, I was supposed to get engaged, good Christian woman and that, but due to circumstances, I turned it down, and it's been a hard walk for me because I'm looking for the right lady that honors God and has a relationship with God, because I truly believe that God wants to use me in a special way. And I do pray every day and ask God for His willingness to bring me that special partner. But why I needed to talk today is that salvation is very important to me. And joining Shofar, as I said, I'm a champion at running, and the people at Shofar are champions for God. We repent, we humble ourselves, and we speak about real issues. And to me, the greatest gift of all is having salvation. And no one can pay the price, not all the money in the world can pay it, but just to have that, if you got the door today and a car rides over you, salvation, you only get one chance. And don't play around. Look at salvation. Ask God into your heart. The gospel's simple. Just ask God into your heart, repent, and humble yourself, and start the journey with all of us at Shofar. Thank you.
Hi, Hi, everyone. I've got a number of testimonies, but I'll share the latest one with you. About 3 weeks ago or so, Andre was doing this whole series about oppression and those that are tormented and et cetera. And I was late for laptop. And I arrived, and Andre was busy on the laptop, and he asked me, how am I doing? So I said, I'm fine. He said, we haven't seen you very often. So I said, well, I've been away for the last 2 weekends just to get away from home, etc. And he's like, for good reasons or bad reasons? So I'm like, do we really have to go down this road right now? So I said, not for great reasons, but, you know, I'm coping. So he said, well, after the service, we need to pray for you. So the service goes past, and everybody comes to the front and leaves, and I'm still adamant that I'm not going to come up, you know. But then I gave the laptop to Matty, and God was like, Melissa, you need to do this, you know. This is your chance. You need to do this. So I come up in, to the front, and we start praying, and I start sharing with Andre, Yvette, and Tirsha what's been happening, you know. I haven't had a very easy life at home with my dad, so your story is really awesome, in the sense of that I've also gone through a lot of verbal abuse, and it's caused a lot of pain and bitterness towards my dad. So I would sort of exist but not show any respect or honor towards him or not acknowledge him, even if he does something slightly right one day, I wouldn't do anything about it. And so we prayed and I repented and I forgave them, and I Andre then challenged me. Probably one of the most difficult things I've had to do is to go home and start honoring and respecting my dad. So I was like, God, what the heck? How am I going to do this, you know? And then he goes all on off on his tangents and whatnot, and I slip and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And so I go back and I'm sorry, Dad. I shouldn't have said that, you know. Forgive me. So that's how it started, and it started getting better. And then on Sunday evening, I get home, and my dad stops me. Well, I sat down next to him. And this is now my whole method of spending more time with him. And I sat there, and he started speaking to me. And he then proceeded. Now, I've been praying for my dad for 9.5 years, and I've never got an apology from him or anything like that. And my dad proceeded to say that he acknowledges the fact that he has been absent all my life, since I've been born, because I'm the latest, I'm a lot Lamiki, and a lot of stuff happened when I was a baby, and that just turned his heart against sort of me. And he then apologized to me, and then he said, but he wants a second chance. You know, my dad's been in and out of hospital for the last 2 years, and he wants a second chance. He believes God has saved his life in order to be present in my life. And then he said, you were never a mistake. See, I always heard the words that I was a mistake. And then he said, I wasn't a mistake. I had to come because I had to show Jesus to them, my family. So that, like, shook my life. I was like, I didn't know what to do. I stood there. God, is this really happening, you know? And, yeah, something, God, Jesus had an encounter. My dad had an encounter with Jesus or the Holy Spirit somewhere in the last 2 weeks. And it just changed his heart towards me. And in the last week, my dad would, like, come up to me and hug me and say, I'm so proud of you. And I'm standing there so, like, dumbstruck, you know? Because it's so new, yet so liberating, and it feels like I've gotten a huge gift, and I'm just unwrapping it bits by bits by bits, and it's just getting better. Yeah, so I praise God for my life, you know, and that my dad could come to Jesus in the way that he has.
It's like so encouraging to you, all these testimonies. For almost 10 years, I've been part of Shofar, the group here in South Africa. Every moment like this has moved me up to another level to search God's face even more than the previous time. And I really want to encourage everyone here to never think that your testimony is something of less important than the previous testimony shared, or even not as great or awesome. And since my first year in university, when I joined Shofar Church in Tygerberg in Cape Town, is I can reflect back to every day, one of these days came, and where just God moved me up to the next level in my spiritual walk with Him. Not for the church only being a great church, but the community that we share as fellow Christians, and the spirit that we all share together. In small groups, we've prayed several times for myself, and we've prayed together. And I can't put into words all the testimonies from this past few years, but I just want to stand here and say to all the new guys who joined the church and everyone that's new into walking into community, keep on walking, keep on running, and stay in community, because this is where your life will change. And every day, I'm a medical doctor at Frey Hospital, and it's really a challenge, and some of the guys also work there with us. And I can really reflect back every day when I go to small group, and I mean, we don't just like overshare and complain the whole time. But last week again, I was really down and out, and it was like a tiring day at work, and everybody just shared their testimonies, and it just increased my faith and really welcomed God's atmosphere into my life again. And I really want to encourage this spirit of sharing your testimonies amongst all of us. And the man I am today is partly because of walking in community with every one of you. So I really want to encourage all of you to keep on doing this.
Hello. So I have no idea why I'm standing here. So I decided, because Sean told me, we all have something to be grateful about, and we all have a testimony. So I decided, like, I've got 100 of testimonies. I've got so much to share, but how do I do it in 5 minutes? So I want to actually use this opportunity just to thank God for our husband, like Sean, because you know what he does? He will not come up here unless I come up. And he tells me, Leanne, you need to voice yourself. You need to grow as a Christian. You need to live out who you are. Because he, like literally in prayer meetings, he won't pray. And then he says, Leanne, come on now. First you pray before I do it. And so he forces me because he knows I'm shy and he knows I don't like speaking in front of people. And he literally pushes me to overcome fear, which is amazing. So I just want to praise God for a husband like Sean. And especially from where I came, past experience, really bad relationship. So I want to encourage you. Maybe it's more an encouragement for the men. Encourage your wives. They need it. They need you to be strong for them, because it's really such a blessing.
Okay, last four. Okay, and then we're finished. Okay, who's next?
Hey everyone, my testimony is based on a scripture in the New Testament about how God provides for the birds even though they don't harvest and whatnot, and how much more He'd provide for His children. So in 2009, my mom resigned from Old Mutual and basically spent 11 months without an income. And surprisingly, every day we went to bed like fed. Like literally there would be days where my mom would pray for a loaf of bread. I mean, you hear these stories and you're just like, it'll never be me, until it actually is you. And then you have to go down on your knees and you have to ask God, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my children are going to eat. And this one day, I came back from school and there was nothing. And then I kept quiet because, I mean, I can't really ask my mom where's the food because there's nothing. And then later on, she went to a friend's house because she just didn't want to be around her children because, I mean, looking at your children starve, it's just like, it's a heartbreaker. Then she came back with a a carton of pickled fish and a loaf of bread. I just looked at her and I was like, where did you get that from? And then she's like, no, my friend just gave it to me. And my mom looked at me and then she was like, God has provided so much for us. Like, the fact that we don't go to bed hungry is like so much, like it just made my mom feel that God is there with us. I mean, like, there were days my mom would just sit in bed and then be like, okay, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how I'm going to go through this day, but because God was there and God was faithful enough, he actually provided for us, and like, literally now she works and everything is just like going well.
Okay, well, today when we were singing the song Bless the Lord, it just reminded me of something that happened, I think, last holiday, when we were going back to Johannesburg. So I'm on this scholarship, and they book us a bus ticket to go home and stuff. And normally they put us together. But I'm always the one that is never sitting next to anyone. Like, I always sit next to a random person in the bus. It's just weird. But then, anyway, I was sitting next to this guy called Anton. And I normally don't talk to the people I sit next to because they're always weird and stuff. So, yeah. And we were just sitting there and we were talking. And we just started talking about God. And he was just telling me about what God has done in his life. And I just shared with him as well. And I've never had a good relationship with my stepdad. So that day, I don't know what really happened in his mind or something. He was acting funny. And then he called me. And, my sister sent me an SMS, and she's like, no, I think you should send your stepdad a message now. He's not acting well, whatever. And then I call him. Well, I didn't have airtime at that moment. So then the guy I was sitting next to offered his phone. So I call him, and then my stepdad is like, oh, Chuma, he started saying some funny stuff, and then he was just, you know, when you're like in that moment where you're not feeling well and someone's just bashing you down, and it's just like, yeah, I felt like a nail, and he was just hammering me like the whole time. And then I think at that moment I felt like I was just going to cry, like I was just so sad. And then I just dropped the phone, and my mom has this thing where she sides with him a lot. So then I called her, and I was like, I don't understand why he's shouting at me, because I did try to call him earlier to explain myself, so I didn't understand. And then she's like, no, Chima, it'll be fine, whatever. And the person I was sitting next to, like, at that moment, he just said something that made me not cry. Like, normally I normally don't cry at all, because I normally just hold in everything. But at that moment, I forgot what he said, but then he said something, and then I just ended up laughing and then called off. And then we carried on driving, the bus driver drove, whatever. And I think it was like at 1 o'clock and everyone was just sleeping. And then the bus, like, there was this taxi that went into the wrong lane and was coming towards our bus. And then the bus driver had to turn. And when he turned, the bus literally was going up on one side. And at that moment, I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. And the guy that I was sitting next to was like, Lord Jesus, please help us. Lord, just be with us. And I was like, wow, such faith. And like that moment, he like literally took, like he covered me. And like he just went on top of me because he cared about me more than he cared about himself. And I think that's just so selfless, like how a person can do that. And I just felt that day that, and he sent me that song, Bless the Lord, because it was just weird. Like he sent it to me. So I was like, oh. Okay, I think I should share that. And then, yeah, so it was just, wow, like that moment I felt God there because God knew I needed someone to just help me that day, and he sent that person to me. And another thing I wanted to share is that there's this organization that we have, because I don't know who told us, but then it told me that week that, like, no, just keep, like, God will always provide for you when it comes to finances and stuff. So then this organization that we have... Okay, this organization that we have, Selborne and Clarendon students in it, and I forgot to put money for float. And I was like, because we're having a cake sale for Breath of Life. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't have money for float. And that day, I ended up getting 250 rand, and I didn't know how I did it in a day, but it happened. And with the money that we put in, I think we were able to, like, triple the amount of money that we put in, and we just bought so many things, because I bought it, and I was like, wow, God, like, you're just so awesome. So, yeah, that's just wanted to share. Just trust in God, and He'll always give you what you need. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Okay, first, about the church. My first time I came, I think it was just to bunk, like, extra prep, because it was during, like, exam time. And I came, and then after that, I was like, no, I'm not going again. It's like, I was like, it's weird. Okay, and then I stayed away for, like, a few weeks and whatever. I never came. And then, I don't know what happened, but then I just ended up, I came back again 1 week, and I don't know, I just enjoyed it. And now I'm even getting other people to come and getting involved. So, yeah, that's just that. And then also, 2 years ago, yeah, well, I was in grade 7, and, like, it was just a bit heavy at home and that. And, like, I wasn't sure about high school and things like that. And then, nevertheless, I applied for a scholarship, and, like, during this whole time, we didn't prepare anything, like, for high school or anything, didn't apply, nothing, just, like, basically put our trust in God, my mom and I. And then, yeah, I'm here, so that means I got it at the end of the day after just keeping on praying. So, yeah.